On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's Up podcast, part of the Sabre Podcast Network, presented in part by Joe Reed, Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. All right, we've got a good guest coming up a little bit. We got one of the newest members of the UVA men's basketball team and North Dakota State transfer, Jakari White, joining the program. Talk about this roster, almost entirely new roster. We've talked about in the past, Elijah Gertrude, Carter Ling, they're coming back, but every other piece is brand new. So we got Jakari coming on, talk a little bit about that and his recruitment. And also just kind of where, you know, kind of he sees his program in year one under Ryan Odom as they get ready to go get going in just a couple weeks here. But some big news over the weekend for UVA men's basketball, probably the biggest news of the offseason for Virginia is the commitment of San Francisco guard Malik Thomas, a 6'5 guard, led the WCC in scoring with 19.9 points per game, was one of the top remaining players in the transfer portal, and he was one of the top remaining players because he just got a waiver for an additional year of eligibility earlier last week and committed on Saturday to Virginia. The rumors all along had been that Thomas was going to end up at Virginia. There was some early interest from Gonzaga and a couple other schools, but kind of Virginia, whatever it seems like from reports, kind of blew the doors off, and it's just kind of been a waiting game now until Malik Thomas got this waiver. You saw last week that what director of recruiting Ahmad Thomas put out the boom gif there from Denzel Washington, and that kind of triggered everyone. And then you got the news just a little bit later that officially saying that Malik Thomas had gotten that waiver for an additional year of eligibility. And it kind of been a little bit of a question mark because Malik Thomas, he had played four seasons of college basketball, but if you go back and look at his first year, you know, he made his first stop at USC his freshman year, and his sophomore year. That was his first two seasons of college basketball before eventually transferring to San Francisco, where he kind of became the scorer, the bucket getter that, Virginia fans are hoping that he can bring to Charlottesville now. Averaged 12 points his first year at San Francisco, and then again the 19.9, almost 20 points a game last year for San Francisco. 31.8 minutes per game on that, shooting 39% from three. Back to his freshman season, the whole reason this kind of waiver was up in the air, he played in 9 games his freshman season at USC. Only 2 minutes a game per average. So he played 18 minutes that entire freshman season. And, it's been the thing for a long time. It's been one of the curious cases. You know, football has the whole redshirt rule that, you can play up to 4 games and then still maintain your redshirt year. We've seen that come into play a lot in football over the years. Basketball has never had that kind of rule. So there was kind of a little bit of a gray area. And so playing games usually past the January demarcation has always kind of led, the NCAA to not giving that waiver. But if you look at it, in the month of January, his freshman year at USC, he played a total of 5 minutes. Eventually he was able to get that additional year of eligibility. So he will be coming to Virginia. And just as a major addition to this program, because he's going to be the kind of go-to scorer that Ryan Odom and this coaching staff have trying to find in the transfer portal. So, you look at him with other guards like Dalen Hall and Jakari White, who we're going to talk to in just a little bit, Malik Thomas, Sam Lewis, and then the front court pieces, Johan Grunlow, Devin Tillis. Things are looking good and trending in a positive direction for Thijs de Ridder, the Belgian big man, the four. From Belgium, it looks like things are going in the right direction for him. So if you add him to this, and I know a lot of people are some people are saying it's the most talented team UVA's had in a while. Some people are saying, this is a Sweet 16 caliber team, or they should be competing for even more than that, maybe competing for ACC championships. I'm going to pump the brakes a little bit because we do have to see, and this is something that we get into with Jakari a little bit later on, none of these guys really know each other yet. So we're going to have to see kind of how all these pieces come together. I will say, and I've said this on past podcasts, that I really like how all these pieces kind of fit together in that puzzle that, Ryan Odom has talked about. A lot of shooting, a lot of versatility, a lot of good ball handlers. You have some size, and you have, some rim protection. I think there's just a lot of ways that this roster makes a lot of sense on paper. But of course, none of these guys really met each other. They're going to get together for the first time on June 16th. That's good when they're going to kind of start their summer workouts. That's going to be the first time that they really play with each other. But Malik Thomas, a massive addition for UVA, probably the biggest of the offseason so far. We'll see what happens with DeRitter. But again, things are looking good on that front. The only thing that I've heard that could, maybe throw this one off is the NCAA eligibility part of this. I don't think there's an issue with UVA on their end. I'm comfortable saying that. I think the only reason that this could get thrown off is NCAA eligibility. I mean, he's a 22-year-old European guy who's been playing professional basketball. So it's a little bit of a gray area there. There are some, a lot of cases in college basketball, especially in recent times, where, these players have been, greenlit in the college game at its time. But it's still going to take a little bit of time for the things to develop, but I have heard that things are trending well for UVA there. So if you add him to this, it's looking like I would start to then get towards that second weekend of the NCAA tournament. I think people right now just take, let's get back to the NCAA tournament, after last season and, kind of some of the recent years, let's win that first NCAA tournament game since 2019. I think that's a huge, monkey on the back for this program right now. Ryan Odom's kind of inherited that, but Malik Thomas, huge addition for Virginia. Other part that I need to talk about with Virginia is this past weekend, a huge weekend at the Disharoon Park as Virginia swept Miami. And I had Bradley Smart from D1 Baseball come on the podcast last week to kind of preview this series because this was absolutely massive for Virginia to win this series. And, obviously now they swept the series, but this was going to be massive for them to be able to get that momentum, to be able to up their RPI. If they were able to beat Miami, a really red hot Miami team who had won 10 straight games in the ACC, kind of going over the course of a month. So one of the hotter teams in the conference, one of the hotter teams in the country, they've really improved their rankings. They were up to 25th in the RPI heading into the weekend. Well, Virginia responds with a sweep. That moves them into the sixth in the ACC standings with a first round bye in the ACC tourney at this point. They'd be one of those teams, which would be, pretty huge because you're looking at, all right, you got to manage your pitching over the ACC tournament now because you've got, it's single elimination. So, how you kind of do that, going forward. So six currently in the ACC standings, moving up ahead of Miami. Virginia also moved up 13 spots to number 60 in the RPI. It's still third worst in the ACC, and that's why there's still a lot of question marks about this Virginia team and their NCAA tournament resume, I guess you could say. So a big week ahead as they continue to try to up that. But I did want to talk a little bit about some big performances, especially on the mound, because pitching has kind of been the punching bag for this program over the last couple of years. And, how could it not be with, the way that the offense has produced in recent years, almost consistently a top five offense nationally, one of the best in the ACC. They haven't quite been that level this year, but they are trending in that direction. I'll talk a little bit more of that in a second. But big performances on the mound this weekend, and it all kind of just started. And I have an article up on thesaber.com right now talking about this, but it all started with Jay Wolfhook. I mean, gosh, what can you say about the guy? Six innings, zero earned runs on three hits. Also had seven strikeouts. Was just zoned it, locked in, had a great performance for Virginia to really start this week and be the catalyst for the series sweep. And also what could be his final, home event in a UVA uniform. You think about where he started as a true freshman quarterback, the first to start a college football game at quarterback for the University of Virginia at quarterback since 1977, just monumental of where he started. He's pitched in three College World Series now, and he's the Friday night starter for this Virginia team this year. And, Brian O'Connor probably said it best, his stats won't jump off the page at anyone, but, typically when Jay Wolfolk leaves a game, he's left Virginia in a position to win that game. And that's exactly what he's done the last couple appearances, especially. Evan Blocko, a huge name that we talked about at the beginning of the season because he was a preseason All-American coming off a great last season for him in his first year as a full-time starter, but had the delay with the injury and then has kind of struggled for form, but his last two appearances, he has gone, more than three innings with zero earned runs, and including this last weekend on Saturday, was a huge reason Virginia was able to come back because they were able to put up zeros on the scoreboard and allow this offense some time and space to catch up. So huge weekend for Evan Blocko. Coach O'Connor says, there's potential that he could kind of see himself get back into the starting mix as early as this week. Maybe not on the weekend rotation, but there is a midweek game and ACC tournament coming up. You could see Evan Blocko back in the starting role, but just as a reliever right now, that's exactly kind of the guy that they need coming out of the bullpen. And then true freshman Tomas Valinkas, I thought he was electric in his start. There was the 97 mile per hour pitch that really froze Daniel Cuvée from Miami, who's one of the best hitters in the conference, one of the best hitters in the country. Struck him out. Six and a third innings with seven Ks, had the three earned runs. Those all came in that start of the seventh inning. Maybe left him in there a little bit too long and lost some juice, but I thought it was a tremendous performance from him. How about timely hitting as well? Harrison Didwick, it has not been the season that he envisioned coming back after tying for the single season home run record last season with 23. But he had two crucial home runs this weekend, giving Virginia, kind of a little bit more, wiggle room on Friday and then hitting the home run to tie the game back up on Saturday, which eventually led to Aiden Teal, who I've also written about on thesaber.com. I highly recommend going out and checking out that story because I think Aiden Teal is probably the best story on this Virginia team this season, along with, maybe Matthew Buchanan out of the bullpen. But Aiden Teal, walk-off RBI single, and then Sunday, the big difference was Henry Ford. The Model T back in action, multi-home run game, his fifth of his career, and his second this season. So huge weekend for Henry Ford. And, this offense is really clicking into place right now. And I tweeted about it over on X. You can go back and look at the numbers. But in the last 23 games for Virginia, UVA is hitting .326, 42 home runs, 9.4 runs per game. Their first 23 games, they were hitting .287. 20 home runs, 6.4 runs per game. So this is a night and day difference with the offense, and that all started when Aiden Teal was moved up into the leadoff role 23 games ago. As Brian O'Connor says, this is hitting weather, and Virginia is showing that. We'll see if it continues into this week. They have the midweek game against George Mason at home, final home game of the season. Then they close the season at Virginia Tech, who's kind of going through a little bit of a dip themselves. They've lost six straight before they took a two-game sweep of Mercer over the weekend. They are number 49 in the RPI, though, so a tremendous opportunity for Virginia. They got to win two out of three of that, you think, just to help their NCAA tournament resume. So it'll be interesting weekend down in Blacksburg for the baseball team. But that is it for me on this top end of the podcast. Let's get into our conversation now with North Dakota State transfer Jakari White coming up here on the Who's On podcast after the break.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
All right, joining us now here on the Who's On podcast was one of the newest members of the UVA men's basketball team, a second team All-Summit League honoree, averaged 17.1 points per game last year at North Dakota State. He was the second transfer in the door for Ryan Odom and staff. It's Jakari White. Jakari, thanks for joining the show.
Sir, thank you for having me.
So I got to ask you, you're kind of winding things down at North Dakota State now. Then you'll have a little bit of time at home, I'm assuming, and then you're back. You're at UVA June 16th. Mm-hmm. What is this like? These last couple of weeks, kind of prepping for that.
I mean, it's exciting. Like, obviously, like, I'm ready for, something new, little change of scenery as well, and ready to get started working out and things at UVA. So I'm really excited.
Has it started to get warm up there?
Yeah, actually, I mean, finally, for the past, what, few months, finally getting warm. So
There you go. It'll be a little bit different down in Charlottesville, but I want to kind of go back kind of through your recruitment just a little bit. I know you've talked about it a ton on some other places, but kind of when you decided into the transfer portal, what were you looking for in your next stop?
I mean the same, I guess the same thing, I felt first time during the recruiting process, some place that, feels right for me. And like really just like just I don't know, I really came in with like open mind. I didn't really have anything to like I didn't really have anything on my mind for just going in. I was just like see what happens, So
When you kind of get in, I've seen before that you said VCU was one of the first kind of schools that kind of reach out to you. Who was that from the VCU staff, and what did you just remember about kind of those initial conversations?
well, they really hit one of my somebody in my circle, because like I know a lot of people. I know somebody that's committed to VCU, so he's talked with them before and knew them pretty well. And so I'm not really sure who was the person to do it, but yeah.
And I also heard you had a little bit of contact with Kyle Guy. Obviously, he's a big name around UVA Parts, and I'm sure it was a good conversation because Kyle's a good guy. But what did you just kind of remember about kind of that initial contact with UVA?
Yeah, I was kind of, surprised. I was really excited too, because I've always like grew up watching like Virginia play, especially like in the tournament. So I was kind of like excited. But when he first hit me up, he was basically saying like, be on the lookout for the coaching change, and that was pretty much it. From first contact, that was all.
And now I know this has kind of been the big thing with you is like you kind of have this top five that gets out, and Virginia's not on there, but then they kind of jump in late. What kind of went through that process, and just kind of what kind of blew the doors off you to be like, okay, yeah, this is a place I could kind of see get it in there with.
So obviously I did some like, research on, Bowdoin, and I haven't heard like anything bad about him. I heard all good things from like a bunch of people that I've talked with, and I don't know, I feel like we had a conversation. I really trusted what he was saying. Like it was one of the things where it's just like, okay, like you get a feeling and it's like, okay, it feels right. So
Yeah, I guess just as someone that has had conversations with him kind of in that recruiting environment, what's he like? How is he kind of getting to know you? Is he just how does he come off? Is it relatable?
I don't know, he seems like very down to earth, understands like people, I guess. And I don't know. I just feel like when somebody like when somebody like has something that just draws you towards them. That's all I can say. It was one of those things. So
Yeah, it's kind of one of those unexplainable things that you just kind of feel a connection there. Looking at, obviously there's a lot of, in this world now with the transfer portal and NIL and kind of this new age. I know in the past you said Virginia was the biggest bidder. Just what is that like kind of going through and seeing those offers? Kind of, I assume you have an agent and just your circle and just kind of going through all that part of it.
I mean, it's all nice and everything, but at the end of the day, I really care about the basketball part and what I can be able to do and what I can bring to the table. So like I didn't really like handle any of that stuff, but yeah, the basketball part is really the only thing I cared about. Having the opportunity to come in and play, and having a big role. So
How does that work then from the player side of it? Because I hear it a lot from the coaches side, even some of the, the collectives and NIL side of it. Are you involved at all in those negotiations? Do you let an agent kind of handle all that and they just kind of report back to you what this is what you got?
Yeah, basically, like agent, like my agent really handled like all the finances stuff. I told him like I didn't discuss like any of that things, what like while I was on visits or things like that, because that's not really the main focus for me.
Have you kind of gathered kind of what Virginia's reputation is in this new world? Because it's a new coaching staff, it's kind of a new era. We're shifting away from kind of what had been the era of Virginia basketball for the last, gosh, 15 years, with Tony Bennett and Ron Sanchez, and now it's on to Ryan Odom. What is Virginia's kind of reputation now?
I mean, it should always be the same, to win a national championship. And I think, with Ryan being like from there, and I feel like he wants to come in and do the same thing Tony Bennett been doing, and to probably want to do it better, I would hope so, coming in and doing that. So, really excited about it.
Does having that connection, because his dad was on staff way back in the 80s and 90s, does having that connection to the program, and then obviously he's coached against Virginia, he's coached this in the conference in the ACC, and he's down the road at VCU, does that matter to players?
I mean, a little bit. Something like it's kind of something like you don't really think about, but like once you like really get into it and you understand like because I feel like you can tell when it means something, especially like somebody that's like come from the area and grew up around, Virginia basketball. So I just feel like he understands the expectation and like especially like the hype all around and everything. So it's just I don't know. I feel like it's something you don't really think about, but it really does matter once you really take into account like all that stuff.
And this is something I've been doing a lot of work on. And being a guy that played in a mid-major level at North Dakota State, is kind of thinking about that transition from going that level up a level. There's been a lot of success stories, especially lately. You look at like Walter Clayton Jr., Jani Broome, Mark Sears, Sears and Clayton, kind of smaller kind of combo guards, just like you. What do you? How do you think your game translates up a level? To the ACC Power Five level.
I mean, just doing the same thing that's got me here in the first place. I mean, at the end of the day, basketball is basketball, and you just keep the main thing, and everything else will come.
Do you, I guess, look at some of those success stories and be like, all right, I can see how they made that jump. What they had to do. I mean, do you think about that at all? Kind of seeing some of the other guys that have made that jump successfully?
Yeah, and I just think it comes from the coach having trust in you and doing what you can do to your best ability. So I feel like that plays a huge part as well, having that trust with your coach and everything.
What do you think is like the biggest misconception about playing at the mid-major level? Because I hear a lot of times, people are like, "Oh, they didn't get any Power Four, Power Five transfers, so like these guys must not be as good, or they must not be attracting the right type of players." But a lot of times, just in my research, kind of looking through this, a lot of times it's those guys that were under-recruited coming out of high school that are able to make those leaps and just kind of keep getting better. Late bloomers or under-recruited.
Yeah, I think with that it comes with like you have a different like hunger to you, like you always have some feel like you have something to prove, and I feel like that's the biggest separator, like just having that mindset of like I can play at this level, and the person that's guarding you is just like okay, like they can't beat me. It's just like it's a certain confidence and like hunger that I feel like you have to have. And just being able to like not be complacent and just keep working every day. So like, you gotta work like you're still at whatever level it is, but like the work is what really matters. So
Do you look at any of those kind of success stories and kind of compare it to your own trajectory?
I mean, I do find some, I do see some similarities in like my story and other people's story, but I mean, I guess only time will tell.
Get into just kind of how this roster is shaping up because I mean it is just almost a completely brand new roster. You've got two guys that are staying over. You got a couple freshmen coming in, but a lot of new faces in this program next year. Have you kind of been staying plugged in, trying to like see, all right, who else is coming on board? Who am I going to be playing with next year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's also exciting, like, because like we're all coming in not knowing, the area and each other and whole new coaching staff. So it's really gonna be like I feel like this summer is gonna be so important for us to like, really get together and try to, find our groove pretty quickly because, having to do that. Like it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a little tough, but especially with like the new guys, especially like overseas guys, like so it's really gonna be a new experience for everyone, and just I hope everybody comes in open mind and open to building a connection as quick as possible. So
Yeah, what does it take to kind of build that connection when everyone's coming from different backgrounds? You, if any of y'all have actually played together before, what's it going to take to kind of bring this all together to make, I mean, the pieces on paper look like they fit pretty well together, but how do y'all actually make that happen?
I think doing like things outside of the, like being together outside of basketball, so like figuring out each other's hobbies and just trying to like not force it, but like to a point where it like it comes natural, like almost you kind of have to like force something like that a little bit, but like not to a point where everybody's like uncomfortable, but like if everybody really does like enjoy each other and enjoy being around each other, like you'll be able to see that in, on the court as well. So like it's something you really can't like fake.
I know you got to come to a visit on grounds, kind of see UVA, see JPJ and all that. Have you gotten to meet anyone else front that's going to be on the team next year? I know everyone's kind of spread out right now.
Yeah, only other person I met was Devin, because we were on the joint visit together, so we visited at the same time. So that's really it though.
Is that kind of just weird? Like you don't really know who you're going to be playing with next year?
A little bit. I mean, I kind of like felt that when I first got to North Dakota State, like we were pretty much all pretty new. There was a few people that was there before, has been there for a while, but still like kind of the same circumstance. So not really too worried about that part, but yeah.
All right. Well, the roster is almost complete. There's a couple other things that are still kind of left out there, but Virginia did pick up another guard, another scoring guard, Malik Thomas from San Francisco. What have you seen from his game, and are you excited about this pickup for this team?
I mean, I honestly, I don't really know like much, but I mean, everybody seems like really excited about him. I'm always excited about, having a new teammate. So, just taking it day by day, and hopefully everything works out. So,
What do you think of just kind of the potential of what you see on paper? Obviously, it's going to take a lot of work to once you get to grounds, once you get working out, but what do you see about the potential for this team?
I see this going, really far. Like, I definitely believe like we can make the tournament and, win some games in the tournament for sure. Feel like we have a good amount of experience as well. I feel like that plays a huge part. So,
Looking
yeah.
at I know that, in the past, Ryan Odoms, he's had some success with, guards and kind of that 6'3" range and that can shoot a lot and shoot well, just like yourself and what you've done at North Dakota State. What have you kind of taken away from kind of how he wants to play?
I mean, basically, kind of the same, like, same kind of role that I've done here, like, showing one of the guys he had from VCU, and it pretty much like do the same thing. I know he's gonna push me to do it, like every time at a high level, and so, I'm really excited about that, and for him to, push me to be better.
What are those things that he wants you to do?
Well, I mean, obviously, get open, make open shots as well. Create for others. I have a ability to, I feel like I can get into the paint whenever and create for everyone else. And then if we're just playing off each other, it should like flow like really nicely. So excited about that as well.
Defensively too, I know in the past he's liked to get some more pressure, kind of full court, and how does that kind of play into your game? I know you racked up a good amount of steals in North Dakota State. I think you made an all defense team too there in the Summit League.
I really take pride in defense and things like that, and I know I'm gonna have to play both sides of the ball as well. So, like you said, like he really wants to up the pressure. Probably wants to create more steals. I don't know. In the past, I haven't really like seen much about that, but yeah, I'm really excited. Because he knows coming in like what I can do and things like that, and so.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess just like what do you think, fans should expect next season at JPJ from yourself? First of all, like what are your personal goals? What do you want to get out of next year?
Well, since I only have 1 year, I mean, it's the winning that national championship. I feel like that should be everyone's goal coming in. And for me, I play big on like energy. Like I'm a big energy guy. And I show that sometimes when I play on the court. And it's just, really fun for me. And I know it's fun for everybody else to watch. So I'm excited for everyone to see that.
Do you think you feed off that crowd a little bit?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. I feel like the crowd, helps everyone play better. So
When you were there, what was like one thing that kind of stood out to you as you kind of got to walk around grounds and JPJ and kind of see everything for the first time?
I mean, it's a little different from what I'm used to, but I mean, I'm just, I'm excited to, see everything and be there fully and, just experience a different part of like a just a bigger school, like and so I'm really just excited to see new things.
Is there a team in the ACC that you're kind of excited to go up against? Because obviously, I mean, like ACC basketball for the longest time, it hasn't been that way in recent years, but it's one of the top conferences in the country, and there's a lot of good matchups in this league.
Oh yeah, I'm I mean, obviously, I'm excited to play, Duke, North Carolina, Florida State, but mostly like Florida schools as well, and I mean, really, just everyone. Like, I'm excited to, play at this level, and I'm just grateful to be here. So,
Awesome, man. Well, I'll get you out on this. What should fans expect from this team next year? I mean, we talked about yourself, but kind of this team as a whole.
I mean, hopefully I'll be able to give a better answer once I know everybody. But I'm excited. I think everybody, is gonna have that, hunger. Everyone's gonna be about the right things and about playing with each other. So it's gonna be a fun like system to play in, system to watch. And I hope we bring the energy defensively as well to keep everybody interested and keep coming to the game. So excited about that.
How are you gonna spend this next couple of weeks before you get to UVA? Are you gonna relax a little bit? Like I know you're finishing up school there at North Dakota State.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely like do some work, like finish the school, but like do workouts and things like that. But totally, I think I'm gonna go home for like a week before I gotta come up. So
What are you working on in your game, I guess, the most right now?
I'm working on like finishing better at the rim, drawing fouls more so I can get to the line, shoot more free throws, and basically just continuing to grow like my outside shooting game and extending my range a little bit more. So
Ja'Kari, I appreciate you coming on. It's going to be fascinating just to kind of see what this team happens because we don't really know at this point. It's all new faces, it's a whole new coaching staff, a whole new era for Virginia basketball. But excited to see you out there on the court next year at JPJ and best of luck and safe travels.
yes, sir, thank you. Excited to get out there.
Right, that'll do for the Who's On podcast. Thanks for joining us. We will be back with you later in the week.
Oh,
field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.